The experience that was overall tops everything was growing closer to God throughout the week. And I grew closer to God through it. And another friend of mine who didn't know the Lord before came to know the Lord through it. And it was amazing. And then through camp, I felt led to play the guitar more through the worship. It was amazing. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't have time to think of my speech up really quickly, but yeah, quick.
Thank you all who purchased a car wash for our fundraiser. We really appreciate it. It went a long way. And yeah, thanks for all your support. Appreciate it.
Well, and Zeke, it's not a speech. It's just a sharing, man. So we got to think about it as a sharing. That's what I try to do on Sundays, just to share what the Lord gave me. I'm just sharing it with you. And that's what they're doing, those young people. And they could go on and on because, again, life-changing experiences at camp. So when you support that next year, just know that it's so much more than just a great time. It's Jesus Christ meeting them right where they're at. And, wow, I really appreciate you sharing those things. So let's pray, and then we're going to read the last half of Revelation chapter 19. And so, God, thank you so much for Molly and Zeke and Josh and Cody John. And, Lord, the experience. And watch these young adults grow in their relationship with Christ, to be able to invest. Dividends are so great, Lord. Thank you. Where kids come to meet you, Jesus, in a special way, and they grow into young adults who are your ambassadors, Lord Jesus. Thank you. So God, we thank you for this time. Now we ask for your fullness, Lord, as the Holy Spirit fills us, God, so we can understand all these things in this wondrous, wonderful book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us the gift of the revelation, Lord. Bless us now as we read it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Weddings are on my mind, of course. And no coincidence that a week before we went to the wedding of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb, my daughter announces that she's engaged, of course. And so it fits perfectly in to our time. Man, this chapter is all about coming into union with our Lord and Savior. Last week, we, of course, focused on the bride, for every wedding has a bride and a groom. And I also added a bit of Jewish customary information about weddings, just to give you a fullness of this moment, as there have been things that led up to the moment of the actual wedding. The first two phases of a Jewish wedding, of course, was that the father of the groom would arrange for the wedding, and then he would pay the price for the bride. And we saw last week that this has already been fulfilled in our lives, this engagement period. Any Christian has entered into an engagement period. And Paul, when writing to the Galatians, said this: "Redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters," of course. And so we see that the Father God arranged for the exact time for Jesus, the Son, to come and be the price for the bride. The very life of Christ Jesus was the price that was paid for us, to purchase us. We're that treasure in a field, that he who found it gave everything to purchase the treasure and take the treasure out of the world. And so that has been done already. Jesus Christ has purchased us. And then the second phase of the wedding was the fetching of the bride. Now, this part has not been done yet. This is when the groom would go by would accompany by his male friends, would go to the house of the bride to get her, to bring her to his house, to have the wedding ceremony. And this is what we look forward to. This has not happened yet. This is what the Bible calls the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes down towards our house and takes us back to his house. in this wonderful moment called the rapture, when Jesus comes in the clouds and we the last recorded observance of Jesus, the last interaction Jesus had, is recorded in Acts chapter 1. Before he ascends into heaven, Jesus says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts." Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, this is Luke writing this, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." And so at the time of the rapture, the church will meet Jesus in the clouds, just like this moment. Jesus won't touch down on earth until this moment here described in chapter 19. 7 years later, the coming of Jesus Christ, which, although I've entitled this, "Here Comes the Groom," it's a wedding maybe, I don't know. "Here Comes the Groom," this is really the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what it's more commonly known as. But keeping with our marriage theme, we're going to focus on the groom for the 10 minutes I have here or so. I think I got a little self-absorbed last week. Being that I know I'm part of the bride, I talked all about the bride, of course. I wore white. I did all this. But we forgot to mention the groom. Shame on me. Because really, in our Western culture, the bride gets all the attention. But the truth is, man, the groom deserves all the attention. He does. So we're going to focus on Jesus, the groom, for the time we have here. So let's read. Beginning in verse 11, reading to verse 16. "Now I, John, saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him, Jesus, on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So the groom, Jesus Christ, makes a grand entrance, coming back to earth in his military uniform, riding on a white horse. And this momentous occasion, again, most commonly is called the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first coming of Jesus was as a humble baby, born in a stable in Bethlehem, the incarnation, Christmas, of course, raised as a carpenter in Nazareth. He lived a sinless life. I mean, the first time, sinless, selfless, but yet he dies a sacrificial and substitutionary death on the cross for us. And then he has a glorious, victorious resurrection. That was the first coming of Jesus Christ. But now he comes again, the second coming. I shared this before, but my pastor for 10 years was Chuck Smith, Pastor Chuck Smith. From 1980 to 1990, I attended Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And he shared a story a number of years ago about a time, a conversation he had with the Prime Minister of Israel, Menachem Begin. He was the Prime Minister from 1977 to 1983. And Chuck Smith found him to be a very pleasant man, the Prime Minister of Israel. And he found out that he knew the scriptures very well. Of course, you would think so, at least the Old Testament, as he was the Prime Minister of Israel, the leader of the Jewish nation. And they talked about Jacob And I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, the one who created the universe, the heavens and the earth and everything in it. You believe that the Messiah is coming, and I believe that the Messiah is coming too. He said, the basic difference is this. When the Messiah comes, you will say, that's the Messiah. And I will say, that's the Messiah. But I will add, this is the second time he's been here. And that's the biggest difference. You see, many of the Jews are still waiting for him to come. They're thinking it's the first time. I mean, he already came in the incarnation. And so we're waiting for the second time, the second coming of Jesus. But again, during that seven-year waiting period, man, we're going to be in a safe place in heaven. We're in that engagement phase right now. And so in chapter 19, John focuses on phases 3 and 4. That time when happens first. And from what I understand in Jewish customs, it was a lot smaller than the banquet. Usually in our day, whoever comes to the wedding sticks around for the reception, right? But back in the Jewish day, the group that gathered for the wedding at the groom's house was relatively smaller than that those who would be invited to the banquet afterwards. So it seems like it's two separate occasions from what I gather. But make no mistake about it. We will be there at the wedding, the bride of Christ, the church, and we will also be there at the banquet when Jesus comes to earth. The wedding, from what I understand, is in heaven. It's a match made in heaven. But the banquet feast is when Jesus comes to earth. And that's where we're going to find the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, those who came to Christ during the Great Tribulation. We're going to see the 144,000 Jews that were sealed in the Spirit of God for sharing the gospel during the Great Tribulation. We're going to see the remnant of Israel that believed on Jesus Christ. It's going to be a huge gathering, bigger than the wedding, I think. But I think the wedding is reserved for the bride of Christ. He described. Well, he's faithful. 6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it at the coming of Christ Jesus. So, man, he's faithful to the very end. Jesus Christ will never let you down. He always comes through. And we're going to have marital bliss with Jesus forever. It's going to be amazing. He's called true. So not only does Jesus always tell the truth, but the Bible says he is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you didn't believe that at one time, man, I hope that through the reading of the book of Revelation, you're convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He's it. It's a narrow way, but it's open to all, everybody. Jesus said, whosoever would come, I will no way cast out. Jesus would like it that all of us would come to know him as their Savior. We have the standard of truth in Jesus Christ. He is our standard. He's the only one that is trustworthy in our lives. He has eyes like a flame of fire. You know, sometimes brides describe their groom as he's got these beautiful brown eyes or these sparkling blue eyes. Well, Jesus' eyes are like a flame of fire. And his eyes can discern the intentions of the hearts of a person. Eyes like a flame of fire speak about purity and judgment. We saw that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, he was described as having eyes like a flame of fire. He's our high priest. He sees through everything. He knows if there is an imposter in the mix. We saw that he was described as he who had eyes like a flame of fire when the church of Thyatira came before him. And the church of Thyatira had given themselves up to fornication with this prophetess Jezebel. He knows if you're sinning, and he also knows if you're following after him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, the writer of Hebrews compares the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on what they call Mount Zion, in that area there. And the conclusion of the matter is that Mount Sinai represents the old covenant given through Moses, the law. And Mount Zion represents the new covenant in Jesus Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews says, listen, don't turn away from Mount Zion. The new covenant is where it's at. And this is the consequences. He says, if you do so, he says, our God is a consuming fire. In other words, nothing less than faith in Jesus Christ will save a person from death. The law can't do that anymore. Man, the law was finished pretty much with the coming of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, he said, it is finished. He presented himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. No longer could a person be justified through the keeping of the law. Now it's by grace. It's all by grace. It's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Not in our works, lest anyone should boast. It's a gift of God. So our salvation is a total gift. This is why we worship Jesus, because it's our way of saying thank you. Because we can do nothing else. Yes, we can do good works for Jesus. That's true. And last week we saw that our wedding gown, if you can say that, is arrayed in the righteous acts of the saints. So what we'll wear on our wedding day with Jesus is a one-time thing. But somehow our good works are going to show on that day what was done for Jesus. Now, we know we are clothed in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's our forever clothes in heaven, is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. But on this wedding day, we're going to have something a little bit different. That works, I don't know. And then it says he has many crowns. No doubt, Jesus is going to be the sole ruler of the earth. He's not going to share his kingship with anything or anyone else. There's not going to be a democracy here. There's not going to be socialism or communism. It's going to be a theocracy. God is going to be ruling in bodily form on the earth during this time called the millennial kingdom. And then he's called the Word of God. This is my favorite part. John wrote, and I'm sure many of you have committed to memory, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't comprehend it. Fast forward, Haley, fast forward. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as the glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. You're so cute. You are. I'm not talking to you, John. I'm talking to Haley. Yeah, that's good. But man, Jesus is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. Awesome. And then, of course, finally, his robe was dipped in blood. His blood paid the price for our sins. In the book of Revelation, his blood, the blood is evidence of the execution of the wrath of God upon a rebellious, God-hating earth. So Jesus treads the winepress of the wrath of God. Now, some say this will also be the fulfillment of this day called the Day of Atonement, as there are three feasts to be fulfilled yet. The Feast of Trumpets, from what we understand, that's the rapture. That's going to be the fulfillment of this Feast of Trumpets. The Day of Atonement, when all of Israel will be saved, those who are still on the earth will look upon him whom they have pierced. And there's the Day of Atonement, as they realize Jesus is the Messiah we've been waiting for. He's the only one that can atone. To earth and tabernacles amongst us. He dwells with us. So these last three are all within a 7-year period are happening. It's going to be an amazing time. Hey, but last thing I want to mention. You know, after a wedding, there's usually a honeymoon, right? Usually. There are some couples who get married and they defer their honeymoon to a later date for whatever reason. They say, we're going to take our honeymoon later. I think, man, are you crazy? This is your time, man. Go on a honeymoon. Enjoy each other. But that seems to be the case here in our reading today. Because the first thing this married couple does is they go to war. For we read in verse 14 that there is an army or armies that follow Jesus. And it's plural. It means there's more than one army. And amen, sister. And most would say one army is the host of angels, falling behind Jesus. Because in Matthew 20:16, Verse 27, Jesus says, for the Son of Christ. You don't get married just to be separate. The bride of Christ is right there next to Jesus Christ. Why are we so close to him? Well, we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, the Bible says, in this time called the millennial or the millennium. There's going to be a millennial kingdom where Jesus Christ will rule and reign in bodily form on earth, but we will be there also, ruling and reigning with him. Maybe that's why they can defer the honeymoon till later, because they're going to have 1,000-year honeymoon, basically. When Christ comes to earth, man, the church will be with him. It's going to be amazing. So because of that, knowing that, maybe that's why they go and wage war. And this is that war called Armageddon. There are so many big Bible topics in this one chapter, 19 and 20. But this is that moment that we read about in Revelation 16. As the angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, I'm not going to get into that today. But kings of the east will come towards that holy city, Jerusalem, and they'll gather in the Valley of Megiddo. That's what it's called, Armageddon, the Hill of Megiddo, the Battle of Armageddon. And it says, and this is chapter 16, verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of the Almighty God. And they gathered them together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Now, some of you might be disappointed to know that this battle is finished before it even starts, because the groom does all the fighting. Jesus does it. Yes, the angels are behind him and the bride is right there, but Jesus takes care of business. He does. He does it. Yes, he does. I want to squeeze you right now, not you, John, the baby. There are books about the important thing to remember is this. If you can remember one thing about this time, it will be over before it even begins. Listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 63. Who is he who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? Listen to the voice of Jesus. I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. This is Isaiah writing 750 years before Christ came. So we know it's been at least 2,750 years before this moment that will come when Jesus executes the wrath of God upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating world. So he's got his blood, his robe is and brought them down, their strength, to the earth. So this is that terrible moment. It's the final battle of those who have assembled themselves against the Messiah who's come to save them. But yet they're gathered together in the Valley of Megiddo. And Jesus Christ takes care of business. The last part of the chapter is very unusual, but this is what you might call the second reception. The one that we want to be at is the banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to enjoy that. After the wedding, the reception, it's going to be awesome. But there is another reception that's mentioned here in the last part of chapter 19. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds, this is really unusual, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him, the groom, Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. Then the beast was, this is just like that, this is getting taken care of. Verse 20, then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, Gehenna. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. And just like that, the battle of Armageddon is over. It's done. The beast and the false prophet are the first inhabitants of hell, you might say. Two banquets in one chapter. One is a feast for the lamb, and one is a feast for the birds. Which one will you attend? Now, maybe you've RSVP'd already. Maybe you came to Jesus Christ. You said yes 25 years ago. Maybe you said yes 25 months ago. Maybe 25 days ago. It doesn't matter because you RSVP'd. You said yes. And you're going to be at the banquet of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I'll see you there. But if you have never answered or RSVP'd with a yes to Jesus, then you're destined for the second one, the second banquet, which is for the birds, really. You do not want to be there. That's not the one you want to go to. I want to give you an opportunity. As I always ask people who said they still haven't said yes to Jesus, I say, "Why? What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting for? You can have him right now. He can become, the engagement can happen right now. How do you do that? Well, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, sup with him. That's how you open the door. You pray. You call out to Jesus. And I want to give you an opportunity now as we close to make your reservation for the first reception, the banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding feast. It's so easy. It's free. But it cost Jesus everything. It wasn't cheap. But this is your chance. If you've always put Jesus off, this is your opportunity to say yes. So let's bow our heads and pray and ask God's blessing upon our time. So thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name for this time. Lord, thank you for giving us this vision that John had of the last days, Lord Jesus. And we're reading it now as if it's happening today. As the world, the stage is set for this appearance of this Antichrist character, Lord, that will solve all the world's problems, that will bring equity and peace. But Lord Jesus, we know it's a false sense of peace. An invitation. And thank you for making a way for us to say yes, Jesus, to you. And we look forward to that wedding and the reception that's to come. And Lord, we say, come quickly, Lord, please, that you would be right on the threshold of coming. God, help us, please, Jesus, to hold on tight. But Lord, if there's anybody here who has never RSVP'd and said yes to the invitation, I pray they would pray a prayer just like this and say yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, I surrender, Lord. I want to be there. I want to come to the wedding and the banquet. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, help me to trust in you that your death on the cross was for me. You paid the price for me. And now I can enter into freedom. I can cross the Red Sea, Lord. I can come into heaven and experience life eternal, freedom with you, Jesus. So once again, please forgive me. Please bring me to heaven, Jesus. Longer than a minute, Lord. God, help us to have zeal to share the gospel, to say that our King is coming. Heaven awaits. Don't miss out. There's one way only, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to be bold and courageous and loving until that day comes, Lord. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, let's stand together, and we're going to end with a song, of course. I know it's a little late today, a little long. We had some great sharing, but I invite you to stick around if you're able to. There's lots of good treats that Steve and Vicki Emanuel made, some good things for us. There's some not so good things either out there, but either way, enjoy the company. And if you humbled your heart and said yes to Jesus today, then don't keep it a secret. man, come forward. Let's pray with you. Let's celebrate, because you're going to be there with all of us at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. God bless you. God bless you.
The Lord Almighty. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting the battle. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain. The Lord Almighty. Who could stop the Lord Almighty? Who could stop the Lord Almighty? Who could stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power. The Lion and the Lamb, every knee will bow before Him.
I apologize for keeping us longer, but you're going to walk outside. It's going to be 95 degrees soon, especially in Ramona. We love you, Ramona. We do. Sally and Tara, just love you very much. But God bless you. Enjoy the company. Hot coffee in a cold building. I don't know why I'm doing that, but I am. So God bless you. Enjoy the time.